We are absolutely thrilled and delighted to have Brother Fred Luter Jr. here with us today. Brother Fred, welcome to Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Brother Fred is a senior pastor of the Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana, down on Franklin Avenue. He went there in 1986 when it was booming and busting at the seams with an attendance of 65 every Sunday morning in a large auditorium that would hold several times that number. But today, praise God, they're running over 7,000 people who come to church there at Franklin Avenue. Now, we all know you can't do it in the inner city, Brother Fred, so we're interested to hear how God used you and what you did and how the Lord led you to lead in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, evangelism and discipleship, to impact the inner city of New Orleans the way you have. He's a graduate of the University of New Orleans and has his MDiv degree from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary and an honorary doctorate from Lake Charles Bible College in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He is the husband. I messed that one up, didn't I? Is that right? That's right. Yeah. I think they could look at you and tell me I made a mistake on that one. So Brother Fred is the husband of Elizabeth D. Luter, and he calls her the love of his life, the apple of his eye, his prime rib, his good thing. And he's also the father of Kimberly and of Fred Chip Luter III. We welcome him here today, and we're honored to have a person who's made history, because Brother Fred not only served as vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention, but was also the first African-American preacher to be honored to preach the annual convention sermon, which I heard back in New Orleans in the year 2001. He blessed and challenged the whole convention, and I know he's going to do that this week as he stands to preach God's word. A wonderful encourager of the Lord, a faithful preacher of the word. Brother Fred, we love you. We look forward to a great week together. We look forward to hearing you in just a few moments.
And my sisters, well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Amen, amen. Given obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to my friend and my brother, Dr. Roberts, thank you, my brother, for this wonderful privilege that you've given me to be here this morning at Midwestern. He's had me here several times. The last time I was here was snowing and cold. Today is just cold. Amen. But I'm not used to this weather. I'm from New Orleans, and we just don't have a lot of cold weather down there, but it is a joy to be here and share once again. I'm so honored because Dr. Roberts knows a lot of pastors and preachers across the city, state, and nation that can be here this few days sharing in this campus revival, but I thank you that he thought enough of this street preacher from New Orleans, Louisiana, to invite him to be a part, invite me to be a part of this campus revival. To all the other pastors and professors and faculty and staff, and particularly to the students here on today, I'm indeed delighted and excited because I have been invited to be here with you this week, and I trust and pray that you'll be blessed by the word of God each and every day. Pray with me and for me. I'm kind of tired today. You might have to forgive me today. Messed up with my schedule. I preached last night in Cleveland, Tennessee, and long story short, I got to Atlanta about 11:30, 12 midnight. I had a 4:45 wake-up call, so I'm kind of, not myself this morning, but blame it on the trip, and I promise you I'll make up for it tomorrow if I fall short on today. But I'm just honored to be here and thank God for this privilege that God has given to me. One, thank God for the music ministry that God has blessed us with this morning and sharing of the music, and just trust and pray that God will bless our time together this week. Pray with me and for me that God would just give to me what you need this week. I've always tried to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that God would just impress upon my heart the messages that he would want me to share, that he would be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, and lost sinners would come to repentance, and most of all, that Satan would be horrified, amen, by all that's done here this week, and so we're looking forward to that. As Dr. Roberts told you, I've been privileged and honored to pastor Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, the only church I've ever pastored, been there 18 years this past October. New Orleans, Franklin Avenue at one time was one of the booming churches in the city of New Orleans, about 5 minutes from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, but in the late 70s, there was a white flight, whites moved out the neighborhood, blacks moved in. So since 1980, it's been a predominantly black church right there in the inner, Dr. Roberts called it inner city, but it's really the hood. We're right there in the hood of of that was a that's a nice the hood is a nice way of the inner city is a nice way of saying the hood, but it's right there in the hood of New Orleans. But God has Walker done a miraculous work there in the hood, man. We have three Sunday morning services every Sunday morning. People are parking four, five, six, seven blocks away to come to worship service. Jenny Hill was there a few weeks ago, and he was amazed at people standing around the wall for worship and to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a phenomenal story, and people told us you can never do it. You can never grow a church in this community, in this city, in this neighborhood. But God did it, and I just give God the praise, the glory, and honor for that. If you're ever down in the city of New Orleans, before you go to Bourbon Street, come check us out at the Franklin Avenue Baptist Church. Yeah, I'm just being real. Before you go to Bourbon Street and the French Quarters and get your Café du Monde and your beignets and coffee, just come down and worship with us at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, and I promise you, you'll be blessed by what God is doing there. And I'm looking forward to getting to meeting many of you and getting to know you during the next 3 days that we're here on together. Well, turn your Bibles this morning with me to the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37. This is campus revival, and I love doing revivals because I understand and realize that not only as a pastor, not only as a husband, not only as a father, but as a believer, I go through dry times in my life. There are times, Dr. Roberts, there are times when I really need God to speak to my heart. That's why I love going to the pastors' conferences and evangelism conferences where I can sit where you're sitting and somebody can preach to me. Because as pastors and preachers and as leaders and music leaders, you know, we give and we give and we give and we give. And sometimes we give out and then we need time to be revived and restored and rejuvenated. How do you handle dry times in your life? How do you handle those difficult times in your life when your spiritual needle is going on empty, when things are not going the way that they should be going in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in your family life, in your marriage, in the classroom? How do you handle those tough times, those valley times that we have in our lives as children of God? How do you handle those tough times when the enemy is attacking, when the forces of the enemy are coming against you in every way possible, and you really going through a dry time? You're smiling on the outside, but deep on the inside, you're really hurting. We're going through the motions. We just are faking it. We're pretending, but and we really dry. We really are having some difficult times in our lives. How do you handle those times in your life? Well, in this very familiar passage of Ezekiel chapter 37, I hope to answer that as we look at a passage of scripture that I trust and pray will be a blessing to you on this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, if you have it, please say amen. As a matter of fact, you can say amen all throughout my sermon. I'm kind of used to it, if you know what I'm talking about. All right? I know y'all don't normally do that in chapel, but y'all would really make me feel real good if every now and then, just about two or three of y'all would say amen, preacher. That would really help me out. Amen? Amen? All right. Ezekiel chapter 37. Look at it with me, verses 1 through 10 of that chapter. Ezekiel, amen. I heard that amen. I appreciate that, man. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy unto these bones, and said to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Verse 6, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Finally, verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great arming. Our Father and our God, Master, we thank and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity that you've given me to be here this morning, God, at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Thank you, God, for the leadership of Dr. Roberts. Thank you, God, for the faculty, for the staff, for the students here, God. We pray your blessings upon them collectively and individually. Now, God, bless this time of preaching. As always, Lord, let me decrease as you increase. Father, let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. To the end, Master, that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. And Master, when it's all said and done, we will be very careful to give your name all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for a second again, let the people of God say amen. And suddenly a rallying, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I want to preach this morning on this first day of this campus revival from the subject, how to revive dry bones. How to revive dry bones. My brothers and my sisters, this 37th chapter of Ezekiel contains one of the most well-known stories in all of the Bible. If you're a student of the scripture, if you've ever attended Sunday school, if you've ever been raised in the church, I have no doubt that you've heard the story in this text. For ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in this text, Ezekiel records the vision of the valley of the dry bones. And many of you, like me, who may have heard this story in song before you ever know it was before you ever read it in the Bible. I remember that when I was a little kid. I was a little kid, maybe about 8, 9, 10 years old, growing up in my local church, and not that I knew what was going on, but my mom and dad were divorced when I was 6 years old. I'm the member of 5 kids, but one of mama's rules was on Sunday morning, everybody had to go to church. And so I tell people all the time, my mama gave me my first drug problem. She drug me to church and drug me to Sunday school and drug me to VBS. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about there. And there I am sitting always in the back because I really didn't want to be there. But one of the things I love going to our church there in New Orleans, we had a wonderful male chorus. And I used to love to hear our male chorus singing. And they had this song that was very popular among the church. It was a song called Dry Bones. And I didn't know it was a story in the Bible. Some of you have heard, oh, the bones, oh, the bones, oh, the dry bones, oh, the bones, oh, the bones, oh, the dry bones, oh, the bones, oh, the bones, oh, the dry bones. Listen to the words. Some of y'all, see y'all saying that, I didn't realize it was in the Bible, Doc. I just thought it was a great song that we love to hear. And even though it's a popular story, brothers and sisters, it's really a sad story. It's sad because here were individuals who once had life. Here were people who once had skin and muscles and strength. Here were individuals who once had vigor and vim and vitality. But look at them now. Dry, brittle, lifeless, spiritless. And the Lord puts Ezekiel, Lord puts the preacher in the midst of these dry, brittle, lifeless, spiritless bones, and preachers ask a question that Ezekiel really didn't have the answer to. Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones be revived? And my brothers and my sisters, the same question can be asked of many of us today in this chapel. The same question could be asked of many of us today in the body of Christ. My friend, the same question can be asked of many of us listening to this sermon today. For if we're honest with ourselves, many of us, if not most of us, can identify with the children of Israel. Many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, are like dead men walking. We've lost our vim, we've lost our vigor, and we would know vitality if it slapped us in the face. And so we're here today, and we hate to admit it, but we're dry spiritually. The joy of the Lord is a thing of the past. Uninhibited praise is a distant memory. Abundant life is something you hear other people talking about, other denominations talking about, other churches talking about, but it really doesn't relate to your life. And revival is something that happens in other places and to other people. So here you are today on this first day of this campus revival, and you're looking for an answer. You're looking for some hope. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I put myself today in Ezekiel's shoes. And if the question Dr. Roberts was asked of God by me, Fred, can these bones live? Can these bones come alive? Can these bones be rejuvenated? Can these bones be restored? My answer would definitely be, Lord, yes, they can. But in order for that to happen, several things must happen first. It's the subject of the sermon this morning, how to revive dry bones. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you several things that must happen in your life and my life if revival is going to happen in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our ministry. If revival is going to happen, several things must happen first. First of all, number one, dry bones must realize that they're dry. Boy, isn't that heavy? Woo, that's kind of heavy then. Dry bones must first of all realize that they're dry. Look at verse 2 of the text in Ezekiel chapter 37. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Brothers, if you're going to be revived, ladies, if you're going to be restored, dry bones must realize that they're dry. In other words, my friend, to thine own self be true. No one has to tell you that you're dry. That there was no doubt that these bones were very dry. And so it is with some of us. No one should have to tell you that you're lifeless. No one should have to tell you that you're dry. No one should have to tell you, man, your joy is gone. What happened to you? You used to be pumped. You used to be excited. You was always vigorous. You was always smiling. There was always a joy in your life. But something's happened to your life. Something changed about your countenance. There's something different about you. You don't have the vigor and the vim and vitality that you had when I met you 6 months ago, when I first came across you a year ago, when I first saw you on this campus. What's happened to you? Your vigor is gone. Your vim is gone. Your vitality is gone. Many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we just go through the motions. I call the same old syndrome. We get up every morning at the same old time. We go and do the same old things every day at the same old time. We go into the same old office. We go to the same old classroom. We take the same old classes, listen to the same old lectures, go in the cafeteria, eat the same old food, hang around the same old people, have a break, go on the TV, look at the same old TV program, do the same old thing all over again, hang out with the same old friends, go to the dorm at night or the house at night, sit in the same old familiar chair, sit at the same old place, do the same old thing all over again, and then the next morning we do it over and over and over again into your life is like it's on automatic pilot. You can practically do this with your eyes closed. You've been doing it for so long, it's like automatic. That maybe there's too much pressure in your life. Maybe there's too much stress in your life. Maybe you're trying to do it all by yourself. But whatever the reason is, you're dry, you're brittle, you're lifeless. However, my friend, the first step to recover is to realize your condition and admit your condition. That's what Moses did. When God came to Moses there in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, told Moses, Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, God, I can't talk, God, I can't do that, Lord, I can't do that, I'm not worthy. God said, Moses, shut up. Just tell them, let my people go. That's all you need to say. You don't need to preach a sermon. You don't need to give Romans Road. You don't need to give him faith. You don't need to do a CWT. Just tell him, Pharaoh, let my people go. That's what David did. After David committed sin with Bathsheba in Psalms 51, David realized he was dry. David realized he was brittle. David realized he didn't have a relationship, the fellowship with God that he had at one time. So David cried out in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my sin and I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. That's what the prodigal son did in Luke chapter 15 after he had taken his father's possession and went off into a far country. He spent all his money, and when he realized that when he spent all his money, he didn't have any friends. When the money ran out, the fun times ran out, the friends ran out, and he found himself in a hog's pen feeding slop. And the Bible said that the prodigal son came to himself, said, what am I doing in this situation? I had it better back at home. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he came to himself. My friend, the first thing if you're going to do truth. If revival is going to happen in your life, if revival is going to happen in your dry bones, you got to realize that you're dry. Stop making excuses. Stop passing the buck. Stop blaming someone else. To thine own self, be true. Like the songwriter said, you need to tell yourself, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not the professors, not the teachers, not the preacher, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I told you I was going to have a problem with this. I tried to warn her, but she said, oh, let's try it today. Dry bones must realize that they're dry. See, the people who normally preach it, they don't move like I move. So, you know, they just stay there. So I tried to tell her, but we're going to do something better tomorrow, Doc. We're going to try something better. Dry bones must realize that they're dry. But then there's a second thing in the text. Not only must dry bones realize that they're dry, but secondly, dry bones must hear the word of God. Dry bones must hear, Walker, the word of God. Look there in verses 4 and on. And again he said to me, prophesy, preach to these bones, and said to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Dry bones must not only realize that they're dry, but secondly, the text says, dry bones must hear the word of God. My brothers and my sisters, if you want to live again, you must hear the word of God. If you want to be revived and restored and rejuvenated, you must hear the word of God. Now listen, preachers, listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen, brothers and sisters. Notice what God told Ezekiel in the text. God said, Ezekiel, preach unto the dry bones the word of God. If they're going to live again, if they're going to change their situation, if they're going to get out of their rut, they must hear the word of God. Not the latest in politics, the word of God. Not the latest denominational issues, the word of God. Not topics from Reader's Digest and Newsweek and Time Magazine, but the word of God. Word that brings nourishment to dry bones. Words that bring strength to brittle bones. Words that bring life to lifeless bones. Oh, Ezekiel, preacher, the word of God. Words like Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord. Words like Psalms 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Words like Psalms 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Words like Psalms 34 and 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Word like Psalms 37 and 25, where David said, I have been young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, preacher, hear, preach the word of God. Word like Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, that said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy path. Word like Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in God. Word like Isaiah 40 and 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. All dry bones, hear the word of God. Word like Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Words like John 15 and 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Words like Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall and you shall and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Words like Romans 8 and 32, if God be for us, who in the world can be against us? All dry bones, hear the word of God. Words like 1 Corinthians. Words like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there had no temptation taken you, such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape so that you and that you and that you might be able to bear it. Words like Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who not only loved me, but he gave himself for me. All dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Words like Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. Words like 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. All dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All right, you can breathe now. You can breathe. Because the word of God gives life. I feel the word of God gives hope. The word of God gives strength. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall stand forever. Oh, preacher, can these bones live? Yes, God, they can live, but there's two more things that need to happen. First of all, dry bones must realize that they're dry. Secondly, dry bones must hear the word of the Lord. But then there's a third thing. Dry bones must respond to the word of God. Dry bones must respond to the word of God. Look at verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied. I preached. I did what God told me to do. I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Dry bones must respond to the word of God. My friend, there's power in the word of God. Even dead, brittle, dry bones came to life when they heard the word of God. Why? Because there's power in the word. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. My friend, the word of God brings life to dry bones. However, those bones must respond to the word of God. In other words, brothers and sisters, if you and I want to live an abundant life, we must not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Let me say that again. If you and I really want to have the abundant life that God has promised all of us as his children, we must not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. It's not enough to read the word, you must live the word. It's not enough to memorize the word, you must walk the word. It's not enough to meditate on the word, you must talk the word. It's not enough to come here to chapel services week after week after week and just leave what you hear right here in the pew or right here in the seats. You got to take the word of God with you. Take it when you leave out of these doors. Take it when you go to the mall. Take it when you go to the restaurant. Take it when you go to work. The word of God must become real and alive in your life so that people that you come into contact with will see there's a difference in your life. Look what happened in the text when these dry, brittle, lifeless, dry bones heard the word of God. Ezekiel says in verse 7 that when he preached the word of God, don't miss this, he said he heard a noise. That's all I'm going to say. I want to come back. That's all I'm going to say. He heard a noise. Then he felt something shaking. Then he saw bones coming together, bone to bone to bone. Now, Dr. Roberts, if I was back at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana, from where I'm from, I would interpret this text by saying something like this. Church, you know what happened here? The toe bone connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone connected to the hip bone, and the hip bone connected to the waist bone, and the waist bone connected to the chest bone, and the chest bone connected to the shoulder bone, and the shoulder bone connected to the elbow bone, and the elbow bone connected to the wrist bone, and the wrist bone connected to the thing down there, and the bone, and the bone, and the dry bone, and the bone, and the, I do a little damn dry bone, right? But since I'm not at home, I won't do that here.
But the bones, Dr. Roberts, came together. Bone to bone to bone. These were the same bones that were dry, that was brittle, that was lifeless. But a preacher stood up in the pulpit and preached the word of God. And the Bible said there was a noise. Maybe three or four amens were in the crowd. And the shaking came together. And bones came together from the toe all the way up to the head. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, all brothers and sisters, I believe the same thing can happen to you and to you and to me. My friend, I don't care who you are today. I don't care what your situation may be. If you hear the word of God and respond to the word of God, even dead, dry bones come to life when they're exposed to the word of God. But wait, there's one more thing that must happen, and then we bid you good morning so that you can get ready for the rest of your day. Dry bones must realize that they're dry. Dry bones must hear the word of God. Three, dry bones must respond to the word of God. And then finally, dry bones must be filled with the Spirit of God. Dry bones must be filled with the Spirit of God. Look at verses 9 and 10 of the text. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain so they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived, and don't miss this last point, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, my friend, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you can't help but be renewed. You can't help but be restored. You can't help but be revived. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. You don't live the same. You don't act the same. Notice, brothers and sisters, notice, ladies and gentlemen, these were the same bones that were dry. The same bones that were, this is not a new set of bones. This is not a new set of folk. These were the same bones who just a few verses earlier were dry. They were brittle. They were dead in the valley of dry bones. However, now they've heard the word of God, they've been exposed to the word of God, they've responded to the word of God, and now God puts his Spirit in these bones. And the Bible says they stood up on their feet and became an exceedingly great army. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I go to my seat. That's what needs to happen to every child of God that hears and responds to the word of God. Same bones, but a new spirit. Same bones, but a new attitude. Same bones, but a new determination. Same bones, but a new outlook. Same bones, but new values. Same bones, but a new creature. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, yet these are the same bones, but now they're revived. Same bones, but now they're renewed. Same bones, but now they're rejuvenated. Same bones, but now they've been resurrected. Same bones, but now they've been restored. And guess what, my friend? Guess what, my brother? If you're here today, and if you're suffering from the dry bone syndrome, your talk is dry, your smile is dry, your life is dry, your marriage is dry, your ministry is dry, your single life is dry, your relationship with friends are dry, your fellowship with God is dry, and it's all because you are dry, then you're in the right place at the right time. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the denomination. Don't blame the professor. Don't blame the school. To thine own self be true. You need to realize that you're dry. My friend, if you're here today, don't despair. Don't lose hope. You're in the right place at the right time, because you may have come here in the valley. You may have come here dry, but you can leave out of this chapel service today on the mountaintop, because the fire of revival is in this place. The fire of revival is on this campus. The fire of revival is in this chapel service. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it can happen to you and to you and to you, but you've got to realize that you're dry. You've got to hear the word of God. You've got to respond to the word of God, and you must be led by the Spirit of God. Oh, preacher, can these bones live? preacher, can these bones come to life? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, they come. But they've got to hear the word of God. They've got to respond to the word of God. And they might be filled with the Spirit of God. And the Bible said when that happens, we will stand up on our feet and become an exceedingly great army. So come on, soldiers. We need you in the battle. Come on, soldiers. Report for duty. Come on, soldiers. We need you to witness. We need you to pray. We need you to preach. We need you to sing. We need you to evangelize. We need you to fight the good fight of faith in the Kansas City area. For we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight although we have to cry. We have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We've got to hold it up until we die. So come on, brothers, report for duty. You're in the army now. Come on, sisters, report for duty. You're in the army now. Come on, professors, report for duty. You're in the army now. Can these bones live? Yes, yes, yes. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to preach the word of God in this place. God, I don't know who's here. I don't know their situation. But Master, I have no doubt that somebody came in here dry. Somebody came in brittle. Somebody came in lifeless. Maybe because of personal issues. Maybe because of family issues. Maybe because of school issues or grade issues or financial issues. But God, their smile is not what it used to be. Their joy is a thing of the past. Their laughter is just mechanical, God. And they're just going through the motions. But God, I thank you for the example of Ezekiel chapter 37. That the dry bones will come to life again when they hear the word of God, when they respond to the word of God, and when they are filled with the Spirit of God. Touch right now, God, all over this service, God. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that needs to know you in a very special way and that needs to be revived, restored, and renewed. Right now, God, I pray that it will start happening in this place and then go from here to our homes, to our ministers, to our churches, to our neighborhoods, so that the fire of revival will continue in this place. We'll be careful, God, to give your name the praise, we give your name the glory, and we give your name the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.